Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Like a machine, making more podcasts than you've ever seen. Now he's finally back for more interviews. I hope you missed him, cause he sure missed you. It's the Tarrant Show. The Tarrant Show. Now he's all booted up and ready to go. It's the Tarrant Show. A simple name. We're a simple guy with a simple face. It's the Tarrant Show.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Tarrant Show. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, a freshly tuned robot ready to study more of what humanity has to offer every week as I interview a person in the world of reality TV, podcasting, content creation, and all kinds of interesting areas. Over 4 years ago, I started this podcast as a way to get to know some of the people in my world a little better, to share that with all of you, the listeners. I was overwhelmed with how successful the show was, and I interviewed close to 60 people in the first run of the show. Unfortunately, though, it had to take a backseat to some of the other work I was doing. However, after 4 years, I still have people requesting that I bring this back, and it's always been something that has been in the back of my mind that I've wanted to rededicate myself to. So here it is, a new batch of Tarrant Show episodes. It's the same dumb name, but it's all new interviews, I promise. So for my first interview back, I decided to bring it back to the very beginning and talk with the man that started it all, Rob Cesternino. I was curious about how his life and his profession has evolved over the last 4 years since I talked to him last. And as always, he had some great insights as we talked about the podcast network, as well as how our relationship has developed through it. So without any further ado, let me shut up and let the people that I'm talking to speak, because that was always, I think, my strong suit in these interviews. And we'll get to my first interview back for the Tarrant Show, Rob Cesternino. Rob, hello. Welcome back.
Tarrant. Oh, my God. It's so good to be back.
Yes. It has been over 4 years since the last time you were on the Tarrant Show.
Yes. Well, when was the date for the Tarrant Show number one?
I believe the date was, I think it was sometime in July. It was
July,
July 17th, 2017.
Wow. So it was during a Big Brother even that we did the very first Tarrant Show.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And I think it was the first season of live feed updates that I was doing as well. Although
what a journey you've been on.
Right. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. What a 4 years and change it's been for you.
It really has been. I mean, it's been awesome. I mean, it's genuinely, I think, been the best 4 years of my life.
Yeah.
In no small part due to you.
Well, I appreciate that. I can't take too much credit. First off, you found me. It wasn't like I went out and was looking for the guy.
You found me at a bar and you were like, hey,
you found me. And like, I feel like that, you know, you really like took the ball and ran with it in terms of like the, you know, opportunity of like doing the live feed update and really everything, you know, from that you've done and created, you know, so I, you know, I was very lucky that you found me. And, you know, I think that we've done like some really incredible things together, even from before that time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I will say I recommend that for those that are jumping into this podcast, go back to the archives, listen to the first episode to get like a kind of baseline of who Rob is, who maybe a little bit who I am. And like how this podcast even started, he tells the whole story about, building this thing from the ground up, could provide some context here for what we're talking about.
Yes. Do that. And we'll make sure we link to it in the show notes.
Yes. Yes, of course. I've been wanting to bring the Taran Show back. It's something that I always really enjoyed doing. I did, something like 59 episodes, maybe a little bit less than that. There are now 59 episodes, but some of those other ones were kind of, sprinkled in here and there. But it was basically a full year of it, every single week, which was, it was on top of, Big Brother coverage and other stuff, kind of a lot to keep up with, especially when, in trying to find more and more people to talk to, not everybody is interested in doing it, and not everybody is somebody that the audience would be sort of curious to hear from as well. Yeah. So
I know it's something that you're passionate about. I remember that that we had spoken it wasn't a podcast. I remember like talking with you about Taran, what else do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And you had said I feel like that there's these other podcast networks. They do a lot of stuff and they talk to the other hosts. I feel like that we should do something like that. And I'm like, okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's I felt like I wanted people to be able to get to know who they were watching on TV and who they were listening to in the podcast a little bit better. Because I feel like that enhances the content when you listen to it, when you watch it. It's part of what I enjoy about even scripted shows. The more detail I get to, know about the characters, the more engaged I am in the whole process. So, mm-hmm. So that alone is sort of like what I'm providing with the podcast, but also I don't remember if I was like looking for this at the time either, but the experience of getting to talk to somebody and to all of these very interesting people one-on-one in a setting where it was kind of like, hey, anything's game here. Like, let's just chat. Mm-hmm. was really cool because, I feel like a lot of conversation is functional, right? Like you're, especially, with other podcast hosts at times you're trying to schedule stuff or you're trying to just kind of like talk about, current events or whatever it is. But there's very little time. It's hard to really sit somebody down and be like, let's have a deep conversation. Let's really chat without it being really weird. So even just for myself, I really appreciated doing these and I'm excited to be doing some more.
Well, I'm so excited to get to catch up.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rob, the last time we talked, again, you talked through your experience of sort of, building the podcast, getting to the place where it was at the time in 2017, which was still, years after you had really gone full time with it. But it was like, mm-hmm. It was definitely like a full fledged success at that point. And you were, like still, I think, very excited about developing and what you were doing. And also at the time, podcasts were established at that point. But it's almost like at this point, it's not even just podcasts. Like at that time, it felt like it was like there were podcasts and there was maybe YouTube. And that was mostly it for the space of like online content creation. And since then, things have really kind of developed in this area. Like how has that impacted you?
Well, in terms of like there being like all these other places like Twitch and TikTok and, all sorts of like different like social media platforms.
Yeah. And it also seems like it's a little bit more in some ways legitimized what we do, but also mm-hmm. In some areas similar to reality television, derided because of, you know, sort of like the perception of it. Whereas like maybe even just 4 years ago, maybe even longer, somebody might have been like, oh, you're a podcaster, like cute. Now they're like, oh, you're like an influencer. Is that what you are? There's a different level of judgment sometimes.
So I really just feel like that the attention of everybody is just so much more. Like, I feel like that when we're talking about like 2017, like I think that there was like there were TV shows and we were recapping TV shows and sort of like that was like the only place where you had like a lot of like discourse about the television shows. And now I just feel like that there are so many more platforms, so much more competition, not just for like, there's like, you know, just like exponentially more shows, but like exponentially more things talking about the shows. In addition to there's so many more podcasts and TikTok and social media and Twitch. And so there's just so much more coverage that I just feel like that everything is much more spread out than it was like at that point in time that we first talked on the podcast.
Definitely. I mean, it's there, like, I think at the time you even talked about, like, you know, they're very easy to create now. And, you know, anybody can really mm-hmm. start their own podcast, which, you know, I think, you know, looking back 4 years ago, it was like, well, you know, every once in a while, somebody would start a podcast. Now it's literally, you know,
yeah.
Most people will come off of a show and start a podcast.
And I think that a big thing, you know, that we did not imagine in like the Taran Show conversation from 2017 was also, you know, how the pandemic also changed things so much. And so, you know, I just think that there were so many other, you know, podcasts and other like basically, I think that that really accelerated the fact that almost like everybody is a content creator, where there's just so much content where, you know, like it's just so diluted in terms of like just everybody's attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, what does that do for like your own sense of identity in your profession? Like, you know, because the nature of your job has shifted in a public sort of perception sense. Has that influenced how you see yourself in your own profession?
Well, I think that probably when we talked in 2017, I think that like I was sort of more of the, you know, content creator. And, you know, I really like had like a mission of like being the content creator. And I was, you know, had a lot of support from the patrons of creating the content. Whereas I think that the 2021 version of me is a little bit more of sort of like at the heading up this organization, which is now, you know, really trying to support so many different content creators, where I don't think I could have imagined, you know, in 2017 that we would have a network with, say, you know, 50 different people creating content. And so, you know, people are still listening to me, but, you know, people are, you know, listening to you and listening to like all of the other different like content creators that are covering like such a wide variety of shows. I mean, I feel like that we probably were covering The Bachelor and the Challenge, and basically, you know, you were just starting to cover, you know, the live feeds on a daily basis at that point in time. And now, you know, we've just expanded off into, you know, covering all of these different shows and have like so much more content, where I don't even think that the like the B&B had even started yet. Like, you know, we really had not like diversified as much at that particular point in time.
Yeah. So you sort of see yourself now as more of like the organizer, like sort of Because it's interesting you say that, because I think I see it somewhat similarly. I mean, I don't not see you as a content creator anymore, but I do also see you as and I always saw you as sort of a mentor for me. But I think I see you now as somebody that is a mentor for so many people, and really you help facilitate the creation of a lot of things now.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Taryn. And I think it's such a great compliment when you ever refer to me like in that capacity, because I just think the world of you as a content creator. And, you know, I can go on and on and on about, you know, just how incredible of a, you know, creator I think that you are. But I think that my job has really become more of how do I support the talented creators that are a part of RHAP and give them the resources that they need to be successful content creators. Like, I can only do so much. And I think that there's like a limited amount of like, how much do people want to hear me specifically talk about things when, you know, there are so many other talented people that are on the network that are able to speak intelligently about so many other things than only just Survivor. And how do we, you know, give them all of these opportunities to be able to, you know, succeed and sort of like keep that same sensibility that I created, you know, starting Rob as a Podcast, which I think is sort of like fun, smart, hopefully inclusive conversations about these subjects that we love talking about. And then, you know, basically like having like one building, but you know, just because they're talking about one thing in this room, it doesn't feel like you've walked into a totally different building. You're just in a different room in that building.
Yeah. And you know, I feel like you can hear a lot about how somebody is a good mentor. You can hear a lot about like a supportive, even like boss or whatever. But, I think that like in the moment, as you are complimenting me, I just feel like pointing out to the listeners, like, this is what I'm talking about when I say how great you are as somebody in my life who has been so supportive of me. And I know that you bring that to everybody that you work with. And I think that's why this sort of the network has been able to grow to this different area, into this different area, because of the way that you are able to nurture these relationships and the creators that are involved, because it's a difficult thing to create content on the internet, and you, speaking for myself at the very least, have been so valuable to my development in creating things, but also just like having you in my life as like as a friend has been so valuable to me. And it's part of why I wanted you on here again, because like in a lot of ways the Taryn Show is always about talking to other people and getting to know them. But, you know, sort of a through line of it was, and you mentioned this, 4 years ago that like, you know, there is always a piece of me in all of those interviews. I think like the piece of me that has changed over these 4 years, is, very grateful to you for being there to encourage me and to support me throughout it. So I needed you back here, Rob.
Okay, well, I'm happy. I don't really have anything new to say, so I'm just I appreciate you saying all of that about me. And you know, I like have to attribute so much of, you know, like these, so many of the people that I feel like have become real stars of the network are people that really, I think, sort of cut their teeth doing live feed updates with you. And I think that you also have like a really great eye for talent in terms of people that are able to, you know, really do what we do. And I think that, you know, you've really done a great job of discovering people yourself. So, you know, like you've, you know, been such a big part of the success of Rob's podcast as well.
I appreciate that. Well, I think so. One of the things that was interesting to me when I was listening back to our previous interview was that, you know, you when you talked about the creation of the podcast, you talked about being unemployed for a while. Yep. And you talked about your dad and how he was a provider for his family. And it seemed like something that was very important to you to feel like you were a provider. And at the time that we talked, you were. You know, now you have been for another 4 years as your kids have been growing up, as you've moved across the country. How do you feel about that now? Because you also talked about there was like a little bit of a fear of like, when does this end? Those things still exist in you?
Sure. I mean, I'm very much afraid that, you know, I'm going to screw this up at some point and, you know, take this in the wrong direction. And, you know, like there'll be a point like I remember when we were really doing it, but it wasn't that great. And so, you know, I'm always afraid that I'm going to, fumble the bag and ultimately have this all go away. So, you know, I don't think that lets me holds me back in any way, but you know, it's always like a concern in the back of my mind. And, you know, I don't know if that's baked in from like my survivor experience or what, but you know, try to be very mindful of trying to not screw this up. And, you know, the world is, you know, I think a lot more complicated in 2021 than it was in 2017 in all sorts of different ways that I could have never foreseen in the 2017 interview. You know, it's very nice that I'm able to do this, as you know, it's such a labor of love. I am so incredibly blessed that, you know, I'm able to do this and support my family. And, you know, we are, you know, on like a pit stop in the middle of this cross-country move where we moved from Los Angeles to Raleigh, North Carolina. Like, we're in an apartment right now that we are going to be moving into a house, which that was always my dream of, you know, being able to buy a house. You know, I am not a young man. This has been my dream for quite some time. You know, we're sort of like on the precipice of, you know, of finally, you know, being people that are owning a home, which, you know, when I was like 30 with no job prospects and, you know, no income, that was like a real pipe dream. And so that, you know, very excited that, you know, through all of the, you know, time spent working on Rob as a podcast, you know, we're able to, you know, close in on this very long time dream.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting because, I don't know if it is unique to what we do. Even just like speaking for myself, growing up the way I did, and the way that sort of like I grew up around money and the circumstances, surrounding that, even now, as I feel like I'm, you know, I've been pretty secure since essentially college. And life is good. And I just moved to San Diego. We crossed country, in opposite directions. Yep. And it's great, but there is, having grown up in a different circumstance, there is always this thing in the back of my mind that is like, this could all go away. You could always fall back, into that place. And I think part, like some of it comes from like, you know, like what if Big Brother got canceled? But I think even before that, like it was so strange to feel like I was in a place where I felt comfortable and secure that I still just haven't completely gotten used to it. Is it anything like that with you?
I certainly think about like, what if, well, you know, what if these shows that we cover, but you know, Taryn, I really feel like that for you, that I just think that you're so talented and yes, you like really found like an amazing vehicle for you in Big Brother, and the way that you're able to like, it speaks to, you know, so many of your skill sets that you're able to, you know, cover the Big Brother live feeds and not go insane over the course of like 90 days of like watching the live feeds, and, you know, not lose it, you know, too much of a degree covering it, and being able to be, you know, so, you know, fair in your coverage. And so that Big Brother is such a, you know, a great thing for you. But I really feel like that whatever it was that you were covering, I think that you would find an audience. And like, I don't think that you are only like somebody who could do Big Brother. And so like, in the eventuality, like that, or, you know, the possibility that, you know, Big Brother went away, like, I feel like that there would certainly be, you know, another thing that you would find, your niche doing. For me personally though, I've definitely thought about like, you know, and basically like with the pandemic, like I ended up having to like face that realization of like, what did we do for a year, without, year plus without there being Survivor? You know, we were, you know, fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, that there was a Big Brother season. I do, you know, think about that sometimes of like, what if this all went away? But I do feel like that we've done a lot of work over the years to sort of like diversify the offerings of the network, where, you know, I don't feel like we are as reliant on Survivor in particular as we were, say, 4 years ago, where like, I kind of feel like that Rob is a podcast, and you know what we've done with Post Show Recaps and the Rehap Ups, you know, like I feel like that we have really just become like more of like a podcast that is like talking about many different things and not just only specifically Survivor and Big Brother or only, you know, competition reality TV.
I mean, what does that do for you when Survivor's off the air for a year? Like, how does that impact like the business side of things?
Well, I think that in terms of the community, like I think it's something that really, you know, affected things, where, you know, people like, you know, turned to us specifically, you know, with Survivor, where, you know, that people were there in the week to week to come and talk to their friends about Survivor. Without there being like weekly Survivor, I did feel like that, you know, the engagement at times was affected over this past year. But, you know, we ended up having to go through, in between the two of us, Taryn, we watched all 40 seasons of Survivor this year. And that was very ambitious. And people were like, well, you didn't need to do that. But I felt like I did. I felt like I needed like to have like a reason for people to come back every single week and, you know, want to talk about Survivor and go back through and look at things with some sort of like fresh perspective on the older stuff. And I thought that it was, you know, intriguing to get the fans involved with that. So it was definitely like a challenge to try to, you know, keep the Survivor content out there to sort of like be a stopgap between the year where there was no Survivor.
Yeah, it seems like in Survivor, the Survivor production crew sort of spent that year coming up with all kinds of wacky ideas for how to reinvent themselves. Did you have the same impulse for the podcast?
That's interesting. I think I sort of never let myself really get there. I think I was trying to feel like I felt like I wanted to scale things back a little bit from where they were in Winners at War, but I don't really know if I've done that in terms of what we were doing at the end of Winners at War, where You know, Survivor itself has changed where that I feel like that it's almost harder to podcast in about in this particular moment on Survivor because there's so much uncertainty that it makes it hard to be able to, like, I think that because the audience is a little bit more like confused and unsure about things, it makes it hard to have like really sort of like in-depth strategy talk. Also, I feel like that this has been the least funny season of Survivor that I can remember, where I feel like that there, that like the wackiness has sort of been like sort of like unintentional, and I feel like that there hasn't, it has not necessarily been like a lighthearted season of Survivor, and I feel like that that's where a lot of the fun comes from on the on the episodes of Survivor. So that this covering this season has presented some unique challenges that it might have been easier to cover Survivor, you know, say in the 2017 version.
Well, I know that it Survivor came onto Netflix, and yes, it felt like that, you know, sort of introduced a whole new wave of fans, maybe people who had watched like way back when, and even Winners of War, I think, kind of brought some people back. But I think the Netflix thing really helped, and people have been binging the seasons and stuff like that. Is that something that you've noticed either subjectively or objectively in any of the numbers?
Yeah, so I can't say that I have like numbers, but like just like anecdotally. So one of the things I've started doing this year is that we do a call that's like a patron orientation call where we invite people who are new patrons to do a call. And I sort of like explain how to access like patron benefits. And I also talk about, you know, if anybody has any questions or wants to come on and say hi. And I've heard from a lot of different people over the course of the year of like, hey, I watched all of the season, not even necessarily during from Netflix. I watched all the seasons during quarantine, and now I'm a, you know, big Survivor fan. And then I discovered Rob as a podcast because of that. So there are a lot of like new people like in our community of people who were like not necessarily watching Survivor live in season 40, but because of the, you know, extended hiatus and because of the pandemic, ended up starting Survivor at some point in that time, and then ended up becoming, you know, finding the podcast from there, and, you know, listening to, you know, looking up old interviews on the website and becoming Rob's podcast fans by way of sort of like a quarantine binge.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Something that you talked about 4 years ago was that part of how you developed the podcast to get to where it was that you'd listen to audiobooks, you would like study up on like different things that you should do. But you also talked about how you know, you can't study forever. At some point you gotta get out on the field. Mm-hmm. And that you at that time felt like the balance of that was still a little bit off, that you maybe needed to spend a little more time, back with the audio books, this self-improvement kind of thing, the sort of contemplation, the idea of like, how do I improve this? How do I continue to move forward? Rather than just continue, down the same path. Is that something that you are still thinking about?
Yeah, I have not spent a lot of time with the audiobooks of late. What I have spent more time, like in the last couple of months, is on TikTok. And I've talked about, TikTok a little bit, but there is a lot of interesting self-development content that's on TikTok. It may not necessarily be on everybody's For You page, but if you watch enough stuff, there is a lot of motivational stuff, and also different sort of marketing advice and different things that you can pick up from watching TikTok. I mean, I would find nothing, more relaxing than listening to, a 7-hour, 8-hour audiobook on personal development, or some sort of interesting business strategy. I love that, where just walking and listening to these types of there's all these great books. I just don't really have the time to be able to spend on listening to that sort of stuff, where I feel like that there's, so many other, I'm always either watching something from the podcast, or, trying to keep up and listen to the other podcasts, or there might be other podcasts that pop up in my feed that I want to listen to. So I would love to, maybe as we get into the holidays, I'll find a good audiobook to check out. Got a bunch of Audible credits that are backed up. So if people have any recommendations for me on something, please, I always love to get the recommendation.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious about your time management, because obviously there's still a lot of content that you create, but now again, you're also sort of managing people, and organizing a lot of things. What does a day look like for you? Is every day similar, or is there any kind of structure, or is it just kind of like you do what you have to?
Yeah. So that not all the days are the same. It really depends on what is being recorded on that day. And the biggest change for me personally is that I went from being on West Coast time to being on East Coast time, which now the inverse of what that's like. I personally, for my schedule, I prefer the West Coast time. I like that better, of being able to get done with my recording portion of the day earlier, and then be able to sort of unwind and get to bed earlier, and then start the day earlier. I mean, I'm basically still I'm working later, but I'm still waking up at the same time, because that's when my kids are going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, whether or not I'm on the East Coast or the West Coast. So now I tend to be working a lot of nights still, and certainly in the summer when we were doing the Big Brother shows, we're getting done with those around 11 o'clock, by the time I record the ads, maybe it might be 11:30 before, I'm sort of starting to unwind and get ready for bed. So the schedule of my day, it tends to be a little bit different. My kids go to school. I take my kids to school in the morning. I get back, and then I sort of have a little bit of time where I'm trying to get into my emails and everything, and any sort of strictly business work stuff. I try to take care of that in the first part of the day. I try to spend some time with Nicole also, where, a lot of times that's a nice spot in the day if we have to run an errand, or we'll try to exercise, or, that's some of the time that we try to spend together. Lately we've been trying to Nicole's a big runner. So I try to go for a run with her, or we take a workout class together on the, Peloton app. And then, my kids come home from school. I start to get into work calls, and then we get into the part of the day where it tends to be a lot of recording, in the afternoon. And then sort of like, you know, people start to become free sort of like around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern. And that tends to be the part of the day where like I'm recording a lot of the podcast now.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it can be, and I think we talked a little bit about this the last time, but I feel like it can be difficult when there's no rigid it's like schedule that is set for you, you know, a job like this, you know. And I think a lot of people are now, a lot more people are working from home, even with regular jobs, because of the pandemic really opened that up. And I think a lot more people are.
I was doing it before it was cool.
Yeah. I'll be able to relate to this sort of thing where you have to, and we talked about this, the discipline of making sure that you are still, you know, doing everything that you need to do without it being essentially planned out for you. Is that something that you feel like you've got it down, or is it something that you just kind of, you're just juggling?
So I get to whatever is on fire. Like, I feel like that there's like in the books that I've read, like, you know, sort of like when you are really like performing well, like you are working on the things that are important, but not urgent. I feel like I spend most of my time in the section, which is the important and urgent, where it's like, it's important that I need to do it. And it's important that I need to do it right now. Like, I think that when you really have things lined up and you're really organized, you're working on the things that are important, but you don't need to be working on them right away. It's like, yeah, that's where you're able to like accomplish like a lot of like really important, like long-term planning stuff. Well, when I'm really like on a good day and like I've sort of like cleared my plate, that's where, you know, that's like ideally where I think you want to be as a person who is like working on important projects. But, you know, I tend to like getting to sort of like, you know, whatever pot is boiling over and focusing my attention there. You know, I almost never miss a deadline with the podcast for whatever reason. That you've been doing this 11 years, like the podcasts come out when they're supposed to. That, I mean, if you're a regular listener, you know what shows come out on what dates. Like that I'm sure you could probably count on one hand the number of times like a podcast was supposed to come out on this day. And like, other than like a guest canceling on me, it's almost never the case where, you know, I missed getting a podcast out that I was supposed to do. So for whatever reason, I'm able to, you know, get to that deadline when it's supposed to be done.
Do you feel like there's a path for you to transition into being more organized in the future? Or do you just kind of feel like this is just my life?
Well, the question that I really, you know, debate with myself is how much do I need to be behind the microphone?
Mm-hmm.
When you work with a Taryn, and so many others, like there's so many like great podcasters that could do, you know, what I do behind a microphone, but nobody else is going to do the other stuff I have to do that's not behind the microphone, which is far less fun. Like, This is the best. Like what we're doing now, this is the fun stuff. But, you know, there are other people that can do this. Like I get into like, well, is it, you know, is it just ego that I have to the people want to hear me, like that's what, like I'm the person, like you know, that I have like to have, like I have this great joke or perspective that, like, if I don't get out there, it's going to be, people will miss that. Or, you know, like, should I be sort of like, you know, handing the mic to more people and just like picking my spots a little bit more? And so that's one of the things I really struggle with of, you know, should I be doing less podcasting?
Yeah.
And what is the audience really, you know, what is the audience here for? Will people feel like, well, why am I being a patron? Rob's not even on that many podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think that people do enjoy having you on.
I appreciate it. I'm not thinking about retiring from podcasting, but like where I'd say right now I'm probably on like, you know, 10 podcasts a week, you know, give or take. And like when we get into like the patron stuff, like, I don't know, maybe like 12 or 13. I tend to probably record like 1 to 2 podcasts a day. Like, do I need to be on that many podcasts? Yeah. Like, would the organization be better served if I was on 5 podcasts?
Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the direction you feel the what do you call it, the podcast, or do you call it like the network? Like, how do you even describe it?
Well, I think it's two different. I mean, I feel like there's Rob has a podcast, which I feel like is me podcasting about things, but I feel like that RHAP is sort of like the greater network. And you know, the greater network is fine without me. You know, like I feel like that Rob is a podcast, you know, still, you know, does need me. I don't want to like make people upset to think that I'm going to like retire anytime soon. Like, you know, I'll do this for, you know, as long as people want to hear from me. Mm-hmm. But like, I just wonder, like, at the pace that I do it, I mean, I just feel like that there's so many talented creators that we work with, where I just feel like that there's only so much that I can, you know, that people need to hear from me on these shows, where, you know, there's so many people that are like, have, you know, so many different interesting opinions and, you know, perspectives that, you know, I feel like that, you know, made less of me is a good thing.
Well, so like, let's say we do, you know, Taren Show 120, 5 years from 20, now,
2025. Okay. So we're sitting in the room with the Oculus headset.
Yeah. Like,
very fun.
Where do you see, where do you want the podcast and the network to be?
Okay. I mean, I would love for the network to, you know, be flourishing with like, so many, you know, popular podcasts and popular hosts and everybody and people with like incredible followings who are podcasting, you know, under the RHAP umbrella. But I feel like that the success of RHAP is when people are listening to podcasts and saying, wait, who is Rob? Why is it called RHAP? I think that that's the, like the ultimate success of like what we're trying to build, is that the network is, you know, not reliant on, you know, me as the content creator, where, you know, that the network, you know, the hosts on the network are the stars, as opposed to me being sort of like the face of, you know, Rob has a podcast.
It is definitely weird to fill out like occupation, like employ Rob has a podcast, mm-hmm. name Taren Armstrong. Like that's a question.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, I could say RHAP. I feel like that's more of, yeah, like more of a catch all.
Yeah. That's usually what I would do. So that's like, is there anything like, cause again, like this environment is sort of accelerating, it seems, at a rapid pace, where, you know, there are now like Twitch streamers and, like YouTubers, who, and there's always been YouTubers, but now it's like, it feels like a genuine profession. Like, you see people being a full-time content creator so much more now than you mm-hmm. did even just 4 years ago. I guess I'll go back to what we were talking about before, but like, what is the, do you feel any sort of social implication of that, in your everyday life?
What do you mean by social implication?
Like, as I think a lot of people find their identity in their job, a lot of people use other people's jobs, you know, to sort of like be like, okay, this is who this person is. And so I think in some ways, like a lot of people find like content creation to be like a really cool thing. And they're very impressed if that's your job. But then sometimes it's like, it's a different story. Like, What is it? What is it like to be you in an everyday social situation?
I think it's very embarrassing. I think that people like feel like I'm a loser. Like I think that if I ever, I don't have a lot of social. I'm very fortunate that I have many great friends, yourself included, that I get to hang out with on a pod. And look, in the pandemic, everybody got to experience what that's like. I have friends that I get to hang out with on Zoom calls many hours of the day. So that's all incredible. I don't have a lot of friends, outside of the podcast. I mean, the podcasters and the listeners are my friends. And that's really it. And I hang out with Nicole and I hang out with my sons. And that's really, I don't really have any other friends that I see, especially like in a new city, where I don't really have any sort of social context, but if we ever go somewhere and people are like, oh, what do you do? It's like, oh, yeah, I podcast about Survivor, and just people like feel bad for me. People think like I'm a big loser and, you know, assume like a poor Nicole, like a husband sounds like a real loser that he's just like does a podcast. And it sounds like, I don't even know how like they put food on their table. It sounds like very sad, but that's not what you do. Like, I know it is. And it's like, oh, poor, this poor woman. So it's not anything that, you know, sounds like it's a, you know, cool thing to like other, you know, grownups that I meet in real life.
Yeah. Now it's like that person will go home and tell their partner, like, if you even think about doing that podcast thing you do as a full-time job, don't even think about it.
Yeah. Cause it sounds like a hobby and it sounds like something that's like a waste of time for people. So that's, you know, if I really want to, like, I was like, oh, I have run a podcast network. And I sort of like leave out the part like where I am a podcaster. That makes it sound like a little bit better, but still kind of sad.
Yeah. Maybe you could say like, cause I do feel like YouTuber has a little bit more substance to it in terms
you
of
think
like,
so?
I do think so. Cause I feel like there are so many successful YouTubers now. And if you say you're like a full-time YouTuber, the people I think assume YouTuber. That you're successful, but it also comes with like, it's such a weird word. And I think it also like has a lot of like baggage attached to it. It's hard to say that one too. I also don't feel personally like a YouTuber because even though we create content on YouTube, it's not really like for YouTube in the way, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like the content that we create, you know, it's like, it's recorded live, but we repurpose it and sort of like try to like, you know, be able to have it accessible in, you know, a lot of different ways. So, you know, it's like we're beyond labels, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I genuinely still struggle when it's like, what is your occupation? Like, content creator sounds weird. YouTuber doesn't sound right. I mean, podcaster is what I've always kind of gone with, which and it's accurate, but like, yeah. It's not completely accurate either. Like it's not the only thing I do either. Like, right. So, it is a little bit, difficult. But I'm also curious to know, you know, even just sort of within your own family, your kids are growing up.
Yeah. Yes.
What is the response, I guess? How does Dominic feel about like podcasting? Like he's growing up in a house where you just always were somebody that created content on the internet.
Yeah. Well, I will say one of the biggest challenges that I face right now in the 2021 version that I didn't necessarily face in the 2017 version, my kids were babies in 2017. And now Dominic just turned 8. Anthony's birthday is this week. He's turning 6. And now they are, you know, bigger kids. And you know, it's fun to spend time with them mostly. And they want to spend time with me. Nicole wants to do things as a family. And so like, I really like feel like I'm pulled like away from the podcast in a lot of different ways that I didn't feel, say, in 2017, where I probably spent just about like all of my time working on the podcast. My kids were babies, like either whether it was Nicole or we had a babysitter watching them. And like sort of like at, you know, at nighttime when I was done with work, you know, I might, you know, be needing to spend time like, you know, like they, but they were like infants and, you know, toddlers and little kids. There wasn't that much to do with them. But now, you know, they really like, you know, want to spend time with me. They have, they're in, you know, soccer and little league. And like, I feel like that's really become a challenge of how do I manage the time that is, forget even like being a good husband, but like just being a good dad, and then like making that work with the podcast schedule, because like where, you know, I tend to be free a lot during the week, like while other people are at work. So it's sort of like the free, like the weekends tend to be like the family is like, hey, great, let's do family stuff. And it's like, actually, that's the time that everybody's free to record podcasts. So that's like a bit of a balancing act. And, you know, Sam Moore does a, you know, great job with like helping to figure out the schedule. And, you know, people like are, you know, can be pretty accommodating with making things work for me. And a lot of like what we do, like with covering the shows happens like after my kids go to bed. So that, you know, tends to work out. But in terms of like what your question, which was, you know, what do the kids think about the podcast? I mean, they think it's really cool. They, you know, Dominic, as you know, got like really into Big Brother this summer. And so like, you know, just like the you know, not just to like watch you, but be able to like, you know, I identify you as like a real person. And so they think it's all really cool, but I think that they think it's like kind of normal where like, it's not really like a normal situation that, you know, I think most families deal with.
Yeah. Do you feel like there are any, there are like unique situations that stem from that?
Just like the, like where, for instance, like, you know, we're watching, you know, Big Brother, and Dominic is feeling like, you know, he loves Derek X. He's like, Dad, you have to tell Derek X that I'm his biggest fan. If you talk to him, promise me you'll get the, I'm like, I mean, this is very surreal. Like, that I don't know how many other like 7 year olds like have this kind of access.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe, like watching Game of Thrones and being like, hey, Dad, can you tell Khal Drogo that he's really cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like, you know, watching like Survivor and it's like, oh, like, Dad, can we send Tyson a message where I just want to tell him that. So it is like very surreal that we kind of have access to like their kids and they're watching a show, but they kind of have like sort of like a little bit of like a second degree association into like this crazy world that we dabble in.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you feel like they are learning, that is like specific to what you do and like what you bring to as their dad?
I don't know. I thought you were going to ask, is there anything that they've learned from like sort of like being around this stuff? And I sort of like feel like that it's a little bit of like a gamble on my part, but I kind of feel like that my thesis is, are there lessons that children could learn about the world from watching these shows and being exposed to sort of like this gameplay and sort of like the life lessons of, you know, I mean, just like talking about like just the like sort of like social implications of watching Big Brother. Like, I feel like that what a interesting way to sort of like expose, you know, children to sort of like all sorts of different like racial issues and you know, issues around like sexuality and things like that, where like you know, the sort of like you know, getting to know these people through the television. And I really do feel like that's like a positive experience for, you know, a child who, you know, like might have like a lot of questions, and sort of just to like be exposed to it through the television, like I think is like a very positive thing for them to get to experience. As far as like you know, learning like sort of like these like strategies and sort of like the ways of the world. Like, I think it's like very interesting, and I hope that it doesn't backfire and blow up in my face as they're hopefully they're not like troubled adults.
Well, I mean, I feel like I grew up on that. Like, you know, I started watching Big Brother and Survivor when I was very young. When I was 8-ish. I definitely felt like I intentionally was trying to learn from it. I think a difference is that I didn't feel like there was a lot of guidance, outside of it. Like, I wasn't watching it with my mom and then having my mom talk to me about it all. I was just watching it, and then just kind of like thinking about it on my own. But I was also like watching a lot of other, you know, things on TV and in movies. And, you know, I've always said that, TV raised me in a way. I came out all right. I don't know. I'm maybe a little bit messed up. But you're such a
great content creator though.
Yeah. I can make things.
And being around all of this, like, I do hope that, you know, it instills like a work ethic and also like a creativity in them that I hope that they can, you know, I don't want my kids to be on reality TV. I don't want my kids to necessarily to be podcasters. I want them to do whatever they want to do. I just hope that they can see some of like this this thing that was sort of like built around my passion, which, you know, I've gotten to do, and I hope that they are able to sort of absorb that. Not that I necessarily, you know, want them to, you know, take over the family business at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the thing that saved me was that I never really got involved in the communities around Big Brother. Not that they're all bad or that they, you know, anything like that, but I feel like the response to the shows is often a worse influence than the shows themselves, because it's just a very large group of people that you know, can be, I think, damaging if you're, and I would like read some stuff, but I was always just like, wow, these people. I was able to sort of like, maintain my own sort of, space outside of that. But I think that's very interesting. I think another thing that I think is interesting about the pandemic, and also I think how that relates to podcasting, is, like the notion that you talked about, where it's like you have friends that you mostly interact with online and through calls or podcasts or whatever, that you don't really, you know, see day to day that often. And that's something that, as I said, a lot of people experienced during the pandemic. I think it's been a little more normalized in that way. Is that something that you think is, like, how do you feel about it? And then do you think that has any sort of, influence in terms of like the world and where it's heading? And also what are your kids think? Cause they went to virtual school and then are they now back in school? So.
Yeah. So for me, I'm very fortunate in that my work was never interrupted by the pandemic. We didn't miss a beat during, anything that happened, with the pandemic. And so we're very, fortunate on so many different levels, because of that. I'm one of the few people that like my life changed, very, very little. I was working from home, was doing interviews with people remotely, beforehand. And like that very little change, except for the fact that now my kids were around all the time and we had no babysitting. Like that was like the biggest way that my life personally was altered because of what went on with the pandemic. So that really like was not too much of a change for me, like for other people who are sort of like had to learn to adjust to do this. Like again, like I'm very fortunate in that, you know, I'm talking to so many people, like I'm just staring into this monitor talking to people, but you know, I get to talk to such like amazing, fun people about all sorts of different things. And so, you know, I spend so much of the day laughing and having fun and, you know, joking around. So, you know, that's really all great. Like, I guess I might be the weirdo, or I definitely am the weirdo. Like I don't necessarily like miss like a ton of like, oh, I need to be like in person with all the, with all these people. Like, I'd love to get back to doing like the live shows. But like, I really like, I'm a homebody to begin with. Like this was all fine, for me. Nicole gets a little bit more like, claustrophobic and cooped up in the house. But you know, if they ever need to send somebody to go live underwater for, you know, 5 years or whatever, like I'm the guy. Like I could do that, no problem.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious because you know, you are now a father who has been raising children for 8 years. Yes. How has your relationship changed with them as they've gotten older? Like, is there a point where you feel like I don't know, they're more sentient, more present, and that changes your relationship with them, right?
So, and just answer the other part of your question from earlier, but them going to school on Zoom was extremely hard. It was like, I don't know, like if we'll ever really be able to know like the real toll of like all of the children doing virtual learning. And I know that like, in terms of like, I feel like that in both of my children in different ways, I feel like that them being home and doing school virtually, like it was not the same. I think that their like a development was affected in different ways for both of them, and I think it's a really sad thing. And not to say that like the schools shouldn't have been closed, I just think that like it really took a toll on like all of the children to, you know, to learn that way. I think maybe for older kids, maybe not that big of a deal, but for the younger kids, I think it was a real challenge for them and for their parents. But as far as like them growing up, like, oh, it's totally different of having like a baby or a toddler, who like aren't, you know, sentient, but that it's just like when like they get to the point where like, they're, you know, they're talking and they're joking and they're playing games and they're like, you know, asking you questions. It's just like, a completely different ball game. Like, Nicole loves having like babies around, but I have really much more enjoyed this phase of the boys, of like where they're like big enough to do things and, you know, want to like engage, but not too old where they're like I want to hang out with my friends, like leave us alone.
do you feel like there's any kind of connection to your sort of new developed role in the podcast as a mentor, as somebody that that helps facilitate other people's talents, and your role as a father?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that, you know, people say that I'm your dad. I think that in like on some level, like, you know, I can be very proud of like the accomplishments of the podcasters and like of my children. Like, I think that it's like a little bit more of like with the podcast, like I don't think it's necessarily parental. I hope that, you know, it's not just because I'm old, but I feel like that, like, I really feel like more of like a coach, and I'm like a player coach where, you know, I'm able to like be in the game with you, with like all of the other, you know, talents talented podcasters, and we can still like, be, whatever sports metaphor, you want to use. And we're on the field together, and, we're having a great time where, it's been great to watch, the career of yourself and so many others, over the years. But I feel like it's not exactly the same as a parent.
No. In terms of like, do you feel like you've learned anything that translates in either direction?
That's a good question. I feel like that in trying to give some feedback to the kids, I try to give them the positive encouragement, to where I think that as a parent, it's like easier to be like, stop doing that. Why do you have to do that? Like I said, knock it off, it's great to be able to have like the skill set to be able to be able to talk to the children in the way that you would talk to somebody that you were coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if you know this about me, Taryn, but I don't really have a lot of experience in athletics, so this is really like the first time like I've experienced this sort of like as more of a coach.
Coach Rob,
mm-hmm.
sounds yeah. right.
I mean, it's
feels good.
I don't know if I'm necessarily like that as my new nickname, but like I feel like that it's the similar skill set.
Mm-hmm.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is there anything else you feel like you've learned about yourself through the job that you've sort of either discovered or developed?
Hmm. I feel like I must have learned something along the way. I feel like I have a very good inventory of what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, and I feel like that's okay. And I try to put myself in a position where I'm able to succeed and stay out of the I know I'm bad at that. I know I can't do that. And nothing good or bad about that. I just that's not the right spot for me. So, I should just, get the hell out of the way and leave that to the people that know what they're talking about or are able to do that. And I feel like that, I think I have a very finely honed sense of myself and what my, abilities are and, where I should be focused.
Yeah. Were there moments where you discovered this is something I'm good at, or this is something I'm not good at?
So when I starting the podcast, basically I wore every single hat and did every single job. I was on the podcast, but I also, made the website and, edited the podcast and booked the guests and did the email and if there anything was it literally was in the beginning, Rob has a podcast and basically did every single thing. Now I have a lot of help. We have, a number of, employees, freelancers, contributors that work on different things with the podcast. So I have a lot of help. The things that are real struggles for me, I'm very fortunate to be able to like give those jobs to people that are able to do them better than I'm able to do. And I can focus more on the things that are, for the most part, the things that are my hopefully strong suits.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about the big move across the country, because obviously it's a massive undertaking.
I'm not going to compare moving stories with you. You had a worse move. I don't want to rank our moves.
I'm just trying to be able to talk about my experience. What prompted it? How are you feeling about it?
So the move was really, really hard. So I moved into a house in 2015. We rented a house we moved in February of 2015. Survivor Worlds Apart was just starting, and it was like a great setup for what I was doing, where like all the bedrooms were on the first floor and my podcast stuff was all on the second floor in that house. And so we had been there for a while. My son Anthony was born while we lived at that house, not in that house, but while we lived at that house. And so my boys really grew up there, but really Nicole, wanted to really, hey, we're not getting any younger. We rent this house. Like eventually, like they could kick us out at any time. They could change the rent or whatever they feel like doing. You know, we want to eventually, you know, own a house. That's sort of like our goal. Nicole for a very long time, felt like I need to put my roots down, was something she may have said a couple of times. And so we were really like trying to figure out like, what are we going to do? And when like in Los Angeles, it was like, okay, what can we afford? Ultimately like what Nicole wanted, was really not going to be what we were able to afford. I was very scared about spending more money where, you know, like, I don't know if you know this about me, like I'm not a kid. I feel like, you know, to get like a lengthy mortgage, I'm like, boy, like I hope I'm alive to see the end of it. So it was a little bit of I don't know what to do. The pandemic came and we were a little like disenchanted with Los Angeles, but because of the pandemic, I was doing everything virtually. It sort of like opened up the map of like, okay, if we didn't stay in Los Angeles, what could we afford? You know, where could we go? And we, you know, we're playing around with like yourself. We didn't want to be anywhere where it was too cold. Although it is pretty chilly in the morning here. Nicole ended up finding like a Facebook group about relocating here, where there's a lot of propaganda about this particular area. She really was sold on it. You know, we started working with a realtor, and then we ultimately like found the spot that we wanted, and we, you know, decided to, you know, make the big move. And so it was really like we signed a contract in September of 2020. And then it's been it was a very long process that we wanted our kids to finish out the school year. And then we basically packed up everything, and really that the hardest thing I've ever done was move out of that house. Cause basically like I loaded a pod, and it was like, basically it was like, okay, we have what's in the pod, what's going in our suitcases, and then what's going like basically like to trash or somebody or selling or what. And there were times when my wife and I were working well together, and there were times when we were not working so well together. And like, I felt like that I was actually like pretty disciplined along the way. Like I had like a counter of like, okay, we are moving in 56 days. So like, we are moving, like the pod is coming in 54 days. Okay. If I just get 1/54th of what has to get done today, done, we're doing great. Like, if we get 1/27th of what's, and then like, boy, Nicole, I feel like there's a lot of stuff around here. And she's like, Like, don't tell me what to do. So we didn't always see eye to eye on the move. Nicole, so like, I got this. I had like, look, there's not even that much stuff to do. And we came down to the wire. We were like the pod, they were coming to pick up the pod. We were still loading stuff. We like basically were getting picked up to go to the airport. They were there. Like we were running up and down the stairs, like trying to like, and we basically like we're moving out of a house, like, and like had to go to the airport. Like we couldn't keep like have any trash, like left in the house, like running up and down the stairs. Like I was in like a full sweat, like going, go to the airport. It was, very, very, very rough, but, we ultimately, we made it here and we've been in this apartment now since, June 1st, I podcast in a closet. That's not so much a space thing. You know, we have a three bedroom apartment here, where Nicole and I have a bedroom, the boys have a bedroom, and then I have like a podcast room. But really, it's not so much the space; it's the noise. Like that, you know, it's a small area. My kids are wild, and I need to like, you know, I can't make podcasts and have my kids screaming. So I'm sort of like in the closet for some added, like audio, support of like another wall for the sound to go through. And so, eventually, you know, I'll have like a, like, I'll be back to like a room where I can do a proper podcast.
So you've been in the apartment for what, almost 6 months now?
Five months. Yeah.
That must be difficult knowing that you're just like in a temporary space and you haven't been able to settle into what you know you will eventually settle into.
Yep. It is what it is right now. I mean, it hasn't been, that much of a challenge really since I've gotten like everything set up. Like it was definitely like an experience to like sort of like rebuild everything and sort of have, you know where everything is. But, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, a long enough time that, you know, I don't really think anything of it at this point in time. I'll be happy to, you know, move on to the next thing. But I mean, I can't complain too much.
Are you like, are you somebody that like, as long as you sort of like build your own little like space, you're okay?
Yeah, I feel like that I've podcasted. I mean, the good thing out of what we were able to do, it's very portable. Like, you know, I had 2 weeks over the summer when I was podcasting in my father-in-law's basement during Big Brother. So, you know, I basically like once like the setup is there, you know, you sort of like forget, you know, that it's not the perfect scenario and just are able to focus on the content.
Mm-hmm. Is Nicole happier there? Is like, has she set her roots down?
She's, well, not yet. Not yet. You know, she has moments, Taryn, you know, but you know, I find the happiness in, the simple things, in small victories. I feel like Nicole is like a little bit more focused on, accomplishing big victories, and she will be happy when the big victories, inevitably come.
Well, she helps you focus on the long term, maybe.
Yes, yeah. In all seriousness, you know, Nicole, like really loves being a mom. She, you know, takes, you know, she's an incredible mom. She does like so much for the boys, and she really focuses all her attention on like you know, giving the boys everything. So that's really where she prioritizes a lot of her focus.
Yeah. Does it change? You know, I asked about like how when they're getting older, it changes your relationship with them. Does it change the relationship with Nicole and them like collectively? Like what is there like a dynamic that shifts as they get older and they, you know, there's a changing of relationship?
Nicole loves babies. She wants like to like have like little babies that like and like as they get a little bit older and they're like a little bit more independent. I don't think she likes that as much. I'm the opposite. Like I like that they're like independent. I don't like when they talk back and like want to completely do their own thing. But you know, I don't like, you know, having to be such a you know, caretaker for them. Like I like that they can like pour themselves like a bowl of cereal and like feed themselves.
Yeah. What's their favorite cereal?
Well, whatever is like the worst, like sugary, yeah. like cereal of like that they want, like Lucky Charms and like fruit. And then Nicole does not want them to have that. Nicole is trying to have them eat healthier cereals, and they want like whatever is like the most like sugary, marshmallowy cereal that they can get their hands on.
Yeah. How do you get kids to eat healthier?
I mean, you don't. I mean, I think that they're gonna eat what they want to eat. I think you can sort of like, fight with a kid until they are blue in the face. But I really don't think that there's like you can control like what you have in the house. But other than that, like you could put something on their plate, and if they're not gonna eat it, like they're not gonna eat it. Like I think that there were probably more battles. Like I can remember as a kid of like, well, you're not getting up from this table until you eat blah 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 blah. But like I'm pretty sure the kids are undefeated on that. I don't think that there's there's some kid out there who like eventually like after 2 hours, I feel like that the kid tends to win that battle.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So I think that, I feel like we've gotten through a lot. This has been very interesting. I do want to sort of like end on, giving more advice to, cause I feel like that was, I remember the first time we talked, it was inspiring to me to hear your story and to talk with you about like how you've accomplished things. And I heard a lot of feedback that like, it was very inspiring to listen to, and it inspired a lot of people.
Was I as inspiring today? I feel like I wasn't as inspiring.
I think you were inspiring. I mean, I asked you a lot more personal questions this time because we focused a lot on the podcast last time. And I
hopefully
to make
people
sure.
are still inspired from 2017.
this is carried over. Nowadays, for somebody who is looking to maybe not even just be a content creator, but to be to essentially control their own fates and like work for themselves and when maybe work remotely and get into some kind of business like that, what kind of advice would you give them?
So I think this is tricky because you said it earlier, like it's never been easier to do that, but like it's also never been as crowded. Like it's never been like as even for myself, like I don't think that necessarily like it was like my stuff was the best. Like in a lot of ways, like my stuff was just first. Like I was just, early to the party, and a lot of like the success that I had was because, I was able to get there before a lot of other people were able to get there. Not that we haven't done a lot of great stuff along the way, but I think that, a lot of like the initial like success that was had was, because of the, just like being early to the game. Now, I think you need to outwork other people. Like, I think that, it's easy. Anybody can make a podcast. Podcasting is fun. Anybody can do it, but can you keep doing it when it's not fun? And can you do the parts of the podcast that aren't fun? This is like, this is the fun part. I get to talk to Taryn. We're having a great time. But if you want to be a professional content creator, are you willing to, do the work to, get your podcast sounding good? Like make sure you have like good equipment. Are you willing to do the marketing of like making sure that you are like responding to people and like having engagement around your content, even reading like the negative criticism and feedback that you might get, and not just like blowing people off that don't necessarily like what you did, but also like trying to figure out like, does this person have a point that is being critical about me? And I love the feedback. I know it's like not all the podcasters want the feedback, but I do. It doesn't hurt my feelings, but I feel like that if one person says something negative, that's like, okay, that person's just a jerk. But when multiple people are saying the same thing, I always want to like sort of like say, like, is there a point there? Is there a kernel of truth in why multiple people are saying the same things about the content? So like, are you willing to sort of like, you know, look at the feedback that isn't just saying like, oh, you're the greatest, you're the best. Like, I feel like that, you know, in it's like 5-star reviews and 1-star reviews aren't as like helpful as sort of like the stuff that's like in the middle where, you know, it's sort of like, well, this was good, but it would be better if blah, 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 blah. Whereas like, you're, you know, that RHAP is the best. Like, you know, there's almost like nothing actionable that you can take away from sort of just like super positive or super negative feedback. But, you know, also that the last part of it is just the commitment of like, are you willing to be there? Like, and nobody's better at this than Taryn Armstrong of that. I don't think that Taryn has missed a day of the live feed updates in 4 years of, or 5 years of doing it, of just being there, like in Taryn's case, day after day after day. In so many of our other cases, week after week after week after week after week. You know, if the audience can't count on you, if they don't know that you're going to be there, you know, that why would they, you know, continue to, you know, want to be around, you know, what you're doing or be a part of, you know, what you are trying to build. So I think it's the dedication. I think it's the commitment to the craft. I think it's putting in the work of like, you know, when you tune in to listen to Taryn talk about Big Brother, you know that he has done the work. He's not showing up and phoning it in. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. So, you know, people want to also like, and I know that like there have been times when we're guilty of this, but people don't want to just listen in and hear just nonstop complaining about things where, now again, can you complain in an artful way of like, can you make it fun to listen to you complain? If that's the case, then you can do it. But if it's just negative, 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 this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, people don't want to hear that also. So, you know, people are listening to what you're talking about for the most part because they love what you're talking about. They are interested in what you're talking about, and at the very core, they like what you're talking about. So sometimes, like, you know, if it's like a sport team or whatever, and the sports team has a bad loss, sure, they will, you know, rip them a new one. But like, I think at the end of the day, you can't just, people don't want the negativity so much. You know, find the good. You know, keep a positive outlook. You know, keep it fun. And I feel like that also, like, keep the interactivity where I feel like that what, and I've, you know, stayed on this, you know, twitter.com for, you know, 11, 12 years here, even though there's, more bad than good there. But what I'm only on it because I want to read my mentions. I want to know what people are saying about the podcast. I love the idea of I'm sitting here, I'm on the microphone, I'm hitting the ball out to the people at home, and they're and I love seeing what they hit back to me. I love when somebody takes a joke that we use on the podcast, and that's what makes it like really like fun and three-dimensional of like that we're having these like relationships with the audience. So keep it interactive, like put the work in, be consistent, keep it fun. I think that those are things, whether it's a podcast, a YouTube stream, a Twitch stream, a TikTok, whatever you're doing, you know, keep the fans, keep the listeners engaged, keep it interactive, be there for them, you know, be responsive to your feedback. I think that these are all of the things where if you do what I'm saying, like eventually you will get there. You know, you know, make sure you are not like only talking to like an audience that's sort of like, like the back of the room or the back of the room where it's like, okay, there's only like 12 people. Like, I'm really making this podcast for my friends. You can make that podcast. If you're having fun, go out and do it, but that's not going to be, you know, ultimately what turns you into a professional content creator. You have to make a product that is going to be, eventually, even though a larger audience hasn't found it, it has to be accessible to a larger audience and not just like, you know, only things that my 10 friends care about.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think this is going? I mean, if I had asked you that question 4 years ago, could you have imagined where it is now? Like, do you have any ideas?
So I think that 4 years ago, I don't think I would have imagined that that everything was going to be so accessible, where like I don't think I would have imagined that there would have been so much like that the marketplace exploded in the way that it did, where there's so many podcasts, even like this year with Survivor, like from where Rob as a Podcast was positioned, there several like major like brands like started Survivor podcasts, also like probably dozens if not hundreds of like smaller podcasts like started up, you know, wanting to talk about Survivor. So it's just like that the podcasting, there's so many podcasts that have started in the last year and a half because of the pandemic. My questions are like coming out of the pandemic, how many people that started podcasts during the pandemic are going to keep up with podcasting now that the world, hopefully, knock on wood, is going to return to some version of the normal world of like prior to the pandemic? You know, how many people will be continuing to produce the podcast that they started during quarantine? Also, are people going to go back to working in I really felt a shift in terms of being a content creator, in terms of like I would put, like for years I would post a podcast at nighttime and I would get so much feedback the morning after the podcast went up because so many people were listening to podcasts as they drove to work. And that really has complete I don't get that sort of an audience on a podcast that I post at night and then people have listened to it right away because they're driving to work. I feel like that a big part of the like commuting audience that would listen to Rob's podcast every day, just, you know, that people aren't commuting, you know, listening to podcasts like later on. I feel like that people don't necessarily want as long of podcasts as they had in the past, where I feel like that, like I would make like super long podcasts and people would listen all the way through. And I feel like that this isn't like an analytic thing. This is like a gut feeling for me. I feel like that people don't make it to the end of long podcasts like they used to, because I feel like that there's either, you know, they're not commuting, they're not, you know, taking, maybe they're not spending as much time at the gym. They're, also like, I think that on things like TikTok and YouTube, and I think that, you know, sort of like, I think that there's more of like a distraction to get to other things. So I feel like that, the TikTokification of our attention span of like shorter, I think has sort of been felt in our industry, where people are not necessarily like looking for as many like, 2-3 hour podcasts. Like I think that like, you know, an hour, even half an hour, I feel like that might be a little bit more of what people are looking for right now. So I think that this is all changing, and I hope that we're positioned to be able to continue to adapt. And, you know, I'm always looking for that feedback from the audience about what they're looking for also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully people will still stick around for, you know, an hour and a half of the Taran show.
Oh, I hope so. And also another thing that I feel like that has been like a big shift, I feel like that during the pandemic, is I feel like that, the Big Brother was the one exception, but I feel like that there was not a ton of Rob's podcast that was on video. Whereas I feel like that, people are wanting like the video version of podcasts more, and watching the podcast on YouTube or on video in ways that they, may not have listened to. I feel like that a lot of people are consuming the podcast episodes watching, things like your live feed update, like watching the YouTube version, or I feel like that people will listen to the podcast version, but I feel like that, you know, almost like I think that some people prefer the video version.
Yeah. I don't think I ever really focused on video as a listener, because mm-hmm. I did, at the time when I was listening to podcasts, like I would listen to them, you know, when I was going to sleep or, mm-hmm. you know, during a commute or something. But I do like, I am consuming more YouTube content now than I ever even used to. And I do think that it's something that, and that's why I've always wanted to, for the Big Brother content, like, have a video component. I feel like there is something that is added there when you're able to see the people talking, and you know, even if there's no necessarily not like a huge difference between them, that you could just listen, but being able to see somebody, it adds something. In the same way that, you know, getting to know somebody a little better, I think adds something to the discussion.
Yeah. And I just think also in the people's habits, in terms of like, if you, that podcasting is, a multitasking, medium where I'm walking around, I'm running errands, I'm going to the gym, I'm on the train and I'm driving a car. I'm doing something else. I'm cleaning my house. I'm washing my dishes. Those are the things that I feel like that podcasting is so well suited for. But as more and more people stayed at their home, now it's like, well, like I've got like two screens in front of me. I've got an iPad on my desk, and I'm like working on the computer, that like, or I'm like, you know, laying in bed and the TV is on. What do I put on the iPad? I think that that's where, you know, I think that the having the video versions of things is where people have been consuming. And I'm sure you've seen it yourself with like, the explosion of, Twitch content, where people want to have like, you know, what's on my second screen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely very interesting. It's always really great to be able to talk to you about it. I hopefully people were able to find this at the very least informative here at the end, but also interesting, because I think that there were a lot of some cool stuff that that you mentioned earlier as well. Thank you so much, Rob, for doing this, for you know, helping start this in the first place four and a half years ago, for doing it then, for doing it now, for always supporting me. You know, it's, I've already said it here on the podcast, but, it genuinely means a lot to me. I growing up, I didn't always have a lot of like supportive, people around me, and, being able to like find you and have you in my life has really been something special. So I really appreciate it.
Well, it means the world to me when you say that. And, you know, I can just like gush on and on and on, but I'm just, you know, so proud of everything that you have done. And, you know, I just think that you, I'm so happy for all the success that you've had with, you know, really turning, you know, just like you really that. I don't think that there's anybody else that's on the level of what you do, where, you know, I just think that it's almost like that. I feel like that you are almost like a competition proof, where that, I don't think that it would be possible for another person to be able to like, you know, put out what you put out in terms of all of the, you know, incredible content that you do. So, I just have, you know, so much admiration for what a professional you are, how hardworking you are, and just the attention to detail. It's just, incredible. And so, you know, I was so lucky that, you know, you sent in that video, one day back in, what year was that? 2015?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I had just moved in. I had just moved into, it was, you know, right during the start of Big Brother Canada. So it was probably like within like a month of me moving into that house and the start of Survivor Worlds Apart, where, you know, it was Big Brother Canada 3. And we were looking for people to, you know, help cover the podcast. And, you know, you sent in that, famous video. And, what a blessing. What a wonderful, lucky thing that happened, to all of us.
I mean, really, in like, I think even when we talked, the last time in 2017, it wasn't necessarily in the same way. I mean, I had just recently, left my full-time job.
Yes.
To sort of like, you know, take a shot at doing this. And now 4 years later, I'm still doing it. And so like my life has significantly changed.
Yes.
Even just since then, and all for the better. And it all started, you know, in that moment when I was just like, maybe I could do that. Yeah. There's a video I could make. And I've told this story before, but like I was, you know, Usually I would hear things and I just gloss over them. I just recently, the startup I'd worked for had been shut down. I didn't have a job. And I was doing freelance stuff. And, you said that, and I had been somebody that was like, wanting, a different perspective, to hear a different perspective on the podcast. And so I was like, maybe I could do that, but I would never get on. And then that night I was like, I couldn't sleep because I had the idea and it's not like a revolutionary idea, but I was like, I can recreate one of these dumb, preseason interview videos that yes. they've made. It was so low budget. And you had mentioned that it was so low budget. I was like, oh, this could be funny. And I think it would be enough to give me a shot here. And, from that moment on, my entire life changes.
So it's going to be so great in 4 years when we talk, do the Taren Show 100 mm-hmm. in 2025. And when it'll be another 4 years since we've done this, it'll be the 10-year anniversary of Taren on Rob as a podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, I agree. It's, I mean, I never could have, imagined, the podcast, everything, I often try to remind myself of how lucky I am because, as a kid, I would literally just like escape into a fantasy of a life that resembled this one that I'm living mm-hmm. right now. And I never thought it was ever going to be, remotely possible. Mm-hmm. So, and it didn't look exactly like this. I had no idea I'd be a podcaster or anything like that, but here I am. And I'm so grateful to you. I'm so grateful to the people that care about what I have to say, on a podcast because, I couldn't be anywhere without that either. So, it's really humbling. It's really something that, I genuinely, tried to make sure I think about it every single day of how lucky yeah. I am.
And well, I think that like one of the other like amazing things that you've been able to do is I feel like that people enjoy, especially with Big Brother, like people look forward to spending time with you almost as much, if not more, than they do like looking forward to the show coming back. Like there are so many people who like, okay, oh, I'm so excited for, 92 days of hearing Taren's voice every day.
Yeah.
That's like so special. It's like so wonderful that, like you have that relationship with the people that listen. And it's just such a nice thing about what we get to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully that those people in particular will enjoy this comeback for the Taren Show. The reintroduction of mm-hmm. the show will be here for a while. I'm thinking like, I had a season one, of yeah. the Taren Show, and then I had a couple like holiday special bonus episodes here and there sprinkled yeah. in. Now we're starting season two. There's a ton of people that I'm excited to talk to, and now that, it's been a while and, so many more people have been on these shows. We have so many new podcasters. It's very exciting and, hopefully you guys will be excited for it too.
Okay. I'm excited, Taren.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Rob, for doing this. This is normally where, I'd ask for plugs, but, this is not only, a podcast where like everybody already knows who you are, but also mm-hmm. It's one that I like lots of people will listen to like a year later. So they'll be like, mm-hmm. Like, oh, so there's a podcast coming up on Thursday, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. I also don't know when I'm going to release it exactly. So,
okay. Well, you can go to robhasawebsite.com to hear more podcasts. Mm,
yes. It's all always there. Rob is a website.
Should we change the URL, Taren?
To RHAP?
Well, I mean, if we could get RHAP.com, we'd definitely change it. But so. Yeah, we cannot get RHAP.com.
I don't think you want RHAW.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think we can get that either.
Yeah. What is RHAP.com?
What is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. So like I get, I follow the,
it redirected me to Napster.
Napster. So yeah, I follow the RHAP hashtag on Instagram, and sometimes I get stuff about like reproductive health and or other.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah. I can't even get RHAP.tv.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, you know, going back to a conversation we had 4 years ago, but I'm definitely the wrong person to ask for naming.
Yeah, that's
things,
true. That's true.
Considering
yeah.
we're back at the Taren Show.
We're back at the Taren Show. Yeah. Did I say anything else interesting, or did I have any takes that aged particularly poorly?
I don't think so. No, I think you did well. I think, you did. You recommended THAP for the hashtag.
THAP.
Yeah.
Okay.
You said Taren has a podcast. And then I said, that's THAP. It sounds like a comic book sound effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tap that podcast.
I think you might have made that joke. Yeah.
It sounds about right.
All right. I'll be back with another one of these next week. But yeah, we'll have a good time. And I appreciate all of you. And I'll see you next time.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.